This is a reading of a collection of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled First Steps in Christian Religious Renewal. This is the discussion that was given after the second lecture was over in the evening at 7 o'clock, given in Stuttgart, or occurring in Stuttgart, on June 13th, 1921. Rudolf Steiner. I think it would be best if you would speak first about what we began to deal with earlier today. In this way, we will come to know each other's wishes and intentions. You must surely have some questions growing out of what I said. Emil Bach. This afternoon, the participants appointed me to report the results of our discussion. First of all, we thought about the different paths or methods and decided that all of them are possible. It became clear to us that it is a matter of gathering people, collecting money, deciding in which direction we want to organize, and deciding whether or not we want to strive to form a loose union. We agreed that each of us should take the initiative where we feel it is best to do so. In addition, we selected a location to which, as soon as the need exists, letters should be sent on a regular basis so that we can organize the circulation of letters. Working publicly in the religious area could occur only within the church. What we might do afterward would have to wait until we have the people we need. As far as entering into this work goes, other people may join only if one of the participants of the current course speaks for them. The central location for managing the circular letters should be given to those of us who are from Berlin, and all the initiatives should be collected and sent out from there. We can begin to gather people together immediately. In preparation for an administrative position, the question is who is to be elected. As for money, we would not want to collect money in the name of our group or union, because that would bring us to the attention of the public. We weighed the idea of whether it would be possible to make the administrative position a part of Der Kommendetag. We also considered what other possibilities could present themselves. Rudolf Steiner. Yes, so you think it is best to form a loose union of those who perhaps want to join this committee, to have a central location in Berlin for the collection of letters, and to collect money at first through Der Kommendetag. We must make the last of these matters still more concrete. The question of the loose union should naturally also be discussed from the viewpoint of how fast you imagine it can proceed. Are they, the people sought, not most likely to be men and women who will be leaving school quite soon and entering life? A participant. It varies. Rudolf Steiner. Of course, it varies. In addition, the situation today is such that, above all, it is necessary, when it comes to doing something like this, not to lose any time. Undoubtedly, the movement for the threefold social organism would have accomplished much more if time was not constantly being lost. And so I think it is advisable here also that you do your best not to lose time. On the other hand, of course, one cannot rush such things. Have you formed an idea of how, in the event that you have begun collecting money on a large scale, you can go public after all? In a certain sense, you seem to wish to avoid public life. Do you have special reasons for this? Let us try to discuss this question. A participant. I just want to say that I have the feeling, after what I have experienced in the various cities, that there is no reason to avoid going public. Our lectures still have exclusively a spiritual scientific character. I am convinced that more people would join us immediately if the lectures were not just spiritual scientific lectures, but rather were religiously oriented. Rudolf Steiner. I would gladly hear what you have against the openness. Your reasons are perhaps quite important. A participant. We thought it would come to a culture war, and that we should wait before we found communities, and also even before we proclaimed the idea itself. The minute we ask openly for money, it is reason enough for the greatest difficulties to rise up against us. Those are the reasons that prompted us to wait, including with regard to the founding of communities, for it has to do with the same problem. A participant. We believe that we cannot step forward as actively working for the founding of communities. Rudolf Steiner. All right, then, wait with the founding of communities. A participant. With going public. Rudolf Steiner. But what are you going to do while you wait? The first task is to find 10 times as many people as are here now. You can achieve this with your letter, I think, if the letter is done well. It will not be so very difficult to get 10 times as many people to join you. Especially among theology students, you will probably find 10 times as many people. You found your way to one another relatively fast. Undoubtedly, you will find people quickly among theology students. It all depends on how you try to finance the cause. This is naturally no easy matter because it will only succeed if it, too, is done relatively fast. And naturally, it is quite a good idea to first form a looser union and, through the use of correspondence, seek out those inclined toward this work. How many of you are there now? A participant. 18. Rudolf Steiner. 18 students. 10 times that would be 180. As soon as you have 180 to 200 people, then it would certainly be a matter of beginning the work. The question is what can be done in order to act as quickly as possible. Naturally, working by means of an exemplary ritual, as good as that is in itself, is not very likely to be fast. Yet the question is whether, while you collect people by correspondence, you could prepare a factual, very clear description of the main points. It could be printed. It does not have to be published, but it would need to be used by those collecting money, so they could give it to anyone who might be able to donate. How this could be done by Der Kommende Tag is difficult to imagine. Der Kommende Tag could indeed be administratively active in this work, but whether it could fundraise on your behalf while using its own name is rather questionable. Did you mean Der Kommende Tag should take this on as Der Kommende Tag? A participant. We saw only the advantage of the fact that they have many contacts and have administrative experience. It does not have to be Der Kommende Tag itself. We could appoint someone who then worked for Der Kommende Tag in a practical way. Rudolf Steiner. I understand the situation. It is perhaps indeed not impractical to think of someone who is sympathetic toward this cause. One might think of Heisler for precisely this task. One could indeed imagine that he, or someone in the same situation as he, could be considered the best for this position. But what do you think about a kind of quiet, objective, goal-oriented description that you would need to distribute so people could inform themselves about what they would be giving money for? A participant. I believe personally that if we decide to fundraise on a large scale, we will have to give up being hidden anyway. Rudolf Steiner. It is possible that someone like Heisler could be entrusted with the fundraising, and that we would not shy away from letting the work as such be made public. On the other hand, I believe that we could avoid letting your names and those of the others who join you become known. No one needs to know, when you have a priestly position here or there within the church, that you belong to this movement. There is no reason that you should be asked. The names of the participants of the loose union do not need to be made public, but only the idea and the cause as such. With regard to Heisler, the situation is such that it cannot harm him, because he will not be given a position in the church any longer anyway. A participant. I am not thinking of a position. Rudolf Steiner. You are not thinking of a position within the church? A participant. No, I would not do that. Rudolf Steiner. There are definitely candidates for the priesthood who are already so strongly compromised that they will have no problem with letting their names be known. Otherwise, the names of those in this loose union do not need to be made known. Of course, no one will deny belonging to it. You need to say it only if asked. This is what seems possible to me. Do you not think that among the young people who have already taken a pastoral or ministerial position in a church, there will be some who will join your group? A participant. It is a question as to how much of a relationship to anthroposophy they have. Rudolf Steiner. Yes, it is, of course, necessary that a certain core of persons is there who are anthroposophists. However, it does not appear to me that all of them must be anthroposophists. If among these there is a certain core of energetic personalities, then the whole thing can maintain an anthroposophical character simply through the significance of these personalities, without shutting out those who are not anthroposophists. You see, as a rule, the best anthroposophists are those who were first opponents, or at least among the best are those who were opponents and have wrestled their way through slowly to anthroposophy. We should not imagine that with a short lecture we can quickly bring to anthroposophy those people who seek to find their way to a religious worldview in the modern sense. Many will resist it. Above all, it will not be easy to get beyond their belief that certain results of anthroposophical research are out of the question because of their own dogma. Many will still believe that reincarnation is irreligious and not Christian. And yet, it is not to be wished that everyone who cannot yet accept this should be shut out, but the actual religious relationship should be held onto. Just as, at the time of the founding of Christianity, one could be a good Christian without knowing that the earth is round, or that America exists. And just as Christianity was not shattered with the discovery of America, so too can someone be a good Christian without having access to the truth of reincarnation. For basically the essential thing with a Christian, I still want to speak about this tomorrow, is his or her relationship to Christ Jesus himself, to this totally objective being. That is the essential thing. A personal relationship to Christ Jesus is the essential aspect of Christianity. Any teaching or doctrine as such, which as a teaching is of course assured to be true, but is simply a cosmological doctrine, cannot be the characteristic sign that a person is Christian. People are Christian through their own personal relationship to Christ, just as Buddhists are Buddhists through their relationship to Buddha. It is not through any teaching or doctrine. You need the content of a doctrine, as we will see, in the sermon, but you are not actually a Christian because of a doctrine. No one who does not have a positive relationship to the supersensible Christ being can be a Christian today, in the sense that we must understand it. For this reason, for me, Adolf Harnack is not a Christian. A man who can say that Christ can be taken out of the Gospels and that only the Father has a place in them is not a Christian. For him there is no difference between Christ and Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament. If you cross out Christ's name in Harnack's book, Das Wesen des Christentums, The Nature of Christianity, and replace it with Yahweh, you would see that the meaning is not changed. He simply sets Christ's belief in the Father in the place of knowledge of the being of Jesus himself. He recognizes in the Christ, actually, only a great teacher of the religion of the Father, which is, however, actually a negation of Christianity and not the essence or nature of Christianity. Therefore, I believe it is not necessary to have the people swear, as it were, to the teaching of reincarnation or karma. These teachings are won only with great difficulty. With time, people will manage it. I just think that because you yourselves are anthroposophists, and because you will attract greater numbers of anthroposophists than of non-anthroposophists, the work will indeed have the necessary anthroposophical character. The substance of anthroposophy will see to it that it has an anthroposophical character, if it actually succeeds. And it must succeed because it contains many conditions for success. A participant. At the University of Münster, many of the theologians wanted to gain independence. There, already, we would find theologians who would meet our needs. Whether many are anthroposophists is the question. Rudolf Steiner. I believe that in Münster, Gideon Speicher prepared the ground. He was a professor of philosophy at Münster. Do you know anything about him? A participant. Only that the exams there were designed differently. Another participant. It is exactly the same in Leipzig. Rudolf Steiner. Thus you will find a foundation prepared among the young theologians. A participant. The theologians who want to be free of the Church are mostly people who can no longer understand the doctrine of the Trinity and cannot acknowledge Christ as a supersensible being, or they belong to the community movement. Rudolf Steiner. When there is a core of anthroposophists, it is not troublesome if we also have such personalities in the loose union. Proof of this seems to be, for instance, that Mr. Rittelmeyer came to anthroposophy immediately after he wrote this little piece about the personality of Jesus. It was actually written from the point of view that you just characterized. It is written totally with the intent of presenting Jesus Christ as a powerful religious personality, and completely leaves out of the discussion the whole question of the supersensible, of the symbol, and so on. It was absolutely what one could call enlightened Protestantism. Then he came to us, and recognized relatively quickly that he needed to understand the mystery of Golgotha, and to wrestle through to a suprasensible understanding of its nature. Thus, I believe that when people are serious students, they do not have to be strivers, but must be serious students, then it does not matter if they come out of enlightened Protestantism. On the other hand, the best candidates you could wish for would actually be those young people. There are many, mostly single individuals here and there, who have finished their Catholic theological studies and have broken away from the Catholic Church completely. They would be the best candidates you could wish for. One cannot deny that the Catholic theology, as theological content, has much that is sound in it. Those who have studied Catholic theology are well schooled, and that stays with them. And then if they have left the Church, in the Church, of course, they are held in iron shackles, then they are open to everything. I mention this. There are not many such people, but only isolated ones, only to stress the possibility. And then, too, the enlightened Protestants are not to be underestimated. A participant. Human beings who strive for certainty in science go so far that they can no longer acknowledge the supersensible being of Christ, yet they long for it. Rudolf Steiner. This is how it was with Rittelmeyer. He could do nothing other than come to, of course, somewhat more powerfully and quite brilliantly, Vinel's conception of the simple man from Nazareth. Vinel is spelled W-E-I-N-E-L. Vinel. End of aside. This was the personality of Christ, according to Rittelmeyer, who wrestled his way very quickly to the supra-sensible understanding of the Christ. Therefore, I believe, you do not need to shy away from drawing people to your cause. A participant. The most difficult problem is the financing. Rudolf Steiner. Yes, the question of financing remains difficult, and it will be until we have the money. It is a fact that new difficulties will arise in the attempt to raise each new gift of 10,000 marks. These are difficulties that simply must be overcome. Many bitter experiences will certainly have to be overcome. You will have many bitter experiences. I think, however, that someone like Heisler is not at all the wrong person for this. On the one hand, he has become bitter because of his own destiny, yet on the other hand, he is convinced of the necessity that such a thing as this must happen. And he is already a respected older person. I'm sorry, but you are all younger than he is, which a person must be to take what comes when collecting money. It is not a comfortable thing. Emil Bach, who find themselves in the position to do so, but who meanwhile are in another profession. Rudolf Steiner, yes, it is naturally a question of what such people will do. Mostly they would enter into consideration with regard to fundraising. However, it is not easy to bring the necessary enthusiasm to bear when one is not engaged in the work. Naturally, there might be a few individuals of this kind, but I think that they are already so overloaded with all kinds of work that they could hardly do more than dedicate themselves to a project like this as a sideline. I do not actually know of anyone who, without seeking the ministry himself or herself, even in such a free form, would be useful as an anthroposophist here. Anthroposophists are not so interested in the renewal of the religious community, precisely because they experience in anthroposophy, how shall I put it, a kind of religious satisfaction. But there must be anthroposophists who are also theologians, and you must look among them. They would certainly not be so rare since Rittlemeyer has been active. I think you will find many people among theologians, especially since Rittlemeyer published his book, which is a collection. Whether all of them will be able to be of use for our cause is another question. But in any case, they would improve the movement, I think. Emil Bach. They would naturally have to change their course if they came to understand the idea. Rudolf Steiner. Whether many of the students want to change course. Do you mean students from the Bund der Anthroposophie Hochschularbeit, Association for Anthroposophical College Work? A participant. Students who do not study theology because, while they certainly have a strong interest in it, have no interest in what is provided in the church today. Rudolf Steiner. Do you think they can muster the active enthusiasm? A participant. Yes, if they were given the possibility of being active in this sense. Rudolf Steiner. It is certainly possible, after you have looked at these persons, to approach them and bring them along with you. I have noticed that the Association for Anthroposophical College Work, above all when it makes the effort to spread anthroposophy in the individual branches of anthroposophical college work, places natural scientific interests ahead of theology. On the other hand, we should interest the theologians themselves. A participant. It is a question whether we can wait that long, until some of them have taken the special theological exams. Rudolf Steiner. Do you think it would take too long? A participant. I do not know how necessary it is. Another participant. There are some among us who had not considered taking the exams in theology, but planned to use the preliminary studies in order to strive toward the goal and do what is to be taken up here. Rudolf Steiner. Now, it is a question whether those of whom you are speaking, who have thought it through to the point that they would not take the theological exams, but would do something else, understand how necessary it is to turn to the priesthood. Naturally, this tendency is connected with a quite common cultural idea, isn't it? You see, the ideas that Spengler described in his title Decline of the West are sounder than one thinks. They are so well-founded that one can say that if present cultural tendencies merely continued without a new impulse, what Spengler calculates would happen. We are in the midst of a complete decline in a fully descending stream. On the other hand, you must not forget the corruption of the culture. The corruption of general spiritual life is not limited to the educated, but is quite widespread. It is actually true that the majority of the people have been bitten by this, and the religious impulses that perhaps still existed among the less educated in the 1870s and 1880s have also already vanished today. Thus we are in the midst of the stream of complete descent, and it will be hardly possible to come out of it if religious life as such does not give rise to new impulses. And thus I believe, to be sure, that those who have studied theology and could work as priests should do that. It is quite necessary that those who have studied theology should work as priests, because we need this so much. A participant. But then also within the church? Rudolf Steiner. Within the church? I would like to stay just with what I said. You can remain within the church if you gradually lead the members of the current church communities out of them. Thus you can proceed to the founding of independent communities. I do not believe the Church as such will reform itself in any manner or form. It cannot be renewed or regenerated. The Church community is so corrupted that we can only reckon that one, parenthesis, the text here is full of gaps and cannot be understood, close parenthesis, leads them out and founds something new with them, parenthesis, further gaps in the text, close parenthesis. I can say that it is not just my opinion about the possibility of reforming the Church, but rather that it is objective knowledge that these Church communities are doomed to destruction. The Catholic Church, naturally, is an exception, which must be thought of as absolutely not at all doomed to destruction, because it works with widespread means, and must thus be viewed as something quite different. A participant. Some of us became philosophers, some scientists, after we broke off our unsatisfying theological studies. Should we do a doctorate, and after the doctoral exams, proceed to a theological study again? Or should one say that after our preparatory training, we can begin immediately with the work in religion? Rudolf Steiner. You see, that is precisely the question of what success we will have. In this connection, one must not underestimate the nature of a transition. When the Waldorf School was founded, I selected teachers based on nothing else than their personal characteristics. Whatever training was to be given in pedagogy and didactics would be given a few weeks later. Such a thing must be possible in a transitional situation. I do not think that those who were frustrated with their theological studies and turned to philosophy, science, or something else have to strive for anything else than to bring the academic study formally to its conclusion. Though that is to be wished for, it is not absolutely necessary. It would be good if the academic study were completed, let us say with a dissertation. On the other hand, we do not need to think for a moment that it is necessary for them to return to their theological studies. In this transitional period, we must consider it to be absolutely right not to hold to the old exam process. This is undoubtedly true. When, for example, Mr. Husmann completes his study and oral exams in chemistry, there is nothing to keep him from, if he wants to be a preacher, becoming a preacher of chemistry. Know that the specialized theological studies, do not let this upset you, hinder the effectiveness of the pastor or priest in the community. It is a fact that the theology students learn too little about the world. They are actually much too unfamiliar with what their task is. They are given a position and are supposed to execute agendas, such as I have described, in economic life. For this, a specialized study like theology, in which one becomes a thoroughly impractical human being, is therefore inappropriate. I have actually experienced that, for instance, there are excellent theology graduates who hardly know any more what the Pythagorean theorem says. They are exceptions, but it does occur. However, disregarding standing fully in practical life, which one needs above all, we quite certainly cannot solve the world's problems by debating the validity of dogma and which theological faculties are to be cultivated. One could quite well imagine that among those of you who have not studied theology at all, there could be some with a certain religious genius. One could well imagine that. What we naturally need is that before you leave here, you find the person you want to have as secretary of your loose union. It would then be good if you could stay in contact with this person, precisely for the sake of der Kommendatag. You already have the central office in Berlin for letters. A participant. We had thought of having another office in Tübingen, which is close to Stuttgart. Rudolf Steiner. And this Tübingen central office, what tasks would it have? A participant. The things that could be done in Stuttgart could be done through personal connections. Rudolf Steiner. What other tasks would the Tübingen central office have? Looking for people? But then you are thinking of a separate office like the one Mr. Bach imagines would be connected with Demende Tak, aren't you? Emil Bach. First of all, we must take on the financing. We must work on it in different places. All kinds of things will have to be brought together at a central place, so the central office must have authority. We chose Berlin because most of us are located there. Rudolf Steiner. So you plan to have central offices in Berlin and Tübingen in order to find the suitable people, co-workers, and to have a person here in Stuttgart who would take steps for financing the work. Now, I cannot in any way make a commitment on behalf of Der Kommende Tag, but it is my opinion that the matter could be handled in the way we have thought out. If it could happen that Heisler, naturally I do not wish in any way to control your choice for the position, so I mention Heisler only as an example, would be assigned to begin the process of financing. And if this could be done in conjunction with Der Kommende Tag, you would need immediately to think about properly designing the position for Heisler. Naturally, I would have to bring this to Der Kommende Tag for discussion. So you would already know when you leave here what Der Kommende Tag would be able to do. Thus, I think many transitions from one thing to another lead us a little into uncertainty. It seems to me that it would not be bad to create a central office that would begin the work immediately. It cannot be done prematurely. I do respect all the reasons for not moving too fast. Yet, in reality, what we can do in 2 years or 1 year, we can also do today. I cannot today commit to this on behalf of Der Kommende Tag. But it seems to me, if the plan actually is not to work under the name of Der Kommende Tag, but rather only in connection with it, then you should actually do this immediately. A participant. Do we have the material financial resources? If we hire someone, we must have the salary for that person. Rudolf Steiner. Yes, well, it is naturally the question of whether we can find a way around this, whether the concern regarding the salary would exist immediately for this person. Will you still be here the day after tomorrow? We could speak tomorrow, or the day after, about how we can solve this issue, so that such a person can be found immediately. It is obvious that one cannot take care of the financing for the person whose task it will be to take on the fundraising so fast. We can speak about this yet tomorrow, or the next day. But are you, in principle, inclined to begin immediately, if it is possible? A participant. I would like, however, to ask whether we could decide now about who to hire for this position. Rudolf Steiner. I wish only to say this. I always proceed from real, practical aspects. There are reasons that would probably allow the matter to be accomplished quite quickly, if precisely Dr. Heisler were to be a possibility. With him you would most likely be able to proceed faster than if it were a matter of selecting some other person arbitrarily. The end of the discussion, number 1.